Welcome to the 9 to 5 Killers podcast, an explorative and insightful journey inside the minds of some of the most successful entrepreneurs who have killed their day jobs to pursue their passions.
Streets raised me, born an 80s baby. Lord save me, cause today I'm going crazy with this bullshit. Crazy with this bullshit.
Welcome to Season 4, Episode 1 of the 9-5 Killers podcast. I'm your host, Glenn Graham. Today, our guest is a thought leader and serial entrepreneur who has started three successful businesses from scratch. The first business is Chivalry, a gentleman's salon founded in 2013, located in downtown Dubai, voted as one of the top premier barbershops by GQ, Esquire, and Time Out. In 2017, he launched 35 Burgundy, an exclusive leather brand catering to people who appreciate quality leather and simple designs. And in 2020, he launched Aficionados PR and Comms to support businesses he believes in to ensure they are given the proper exposure they deserve in a saturated market. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce Mr. Mustafa Abbas to the 9-5 Killers podcast. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you here, Mustafa.
Thank you, Glenn. Glad to be here.
How many brothers and sisters do you have? You have a family, a big family or a small family?
I have no brothers, two sisters, so we're three. I'm not exaggerating. I have hundreds of cousins.
Wow. When you say, so
but,
how many?
But I'm sure, but I think your situation's kind of similar, no?
Yeah. I have a lot.
You got a lot of cousins.
A lot of cousins. Yeah. I have a cousin in Costa Rica. I have them in Brooklyn, New York, everywhere. And it's funny because there's some of them that they reach out to you and you don't know who the hell they are.
How does that make you feel?
How does it make me feel? Yeah. It makes me feel like I always question why some people get in contact with me. Like if it's genuinely you want to link with your cousin or genuinely you need something. So I always like, I'm always holding my breath, like hoping that they don't say, oh, by the way, like when I went, the first time I went to Costa Rica, you know, somebody reached out to me that was supposedly a cousin and it was a very distant cousin. And then there was a, by the way, could you bring this stuff? At first I was excited. Then I was like, it was like, by the way, can you bring these things down? And I was like, man, I never spoke to this person before. So how do you feel about that?
I don't even know what the right term is. I think that that doesn't happen a lot to me. My situation's more like someone messages me later on that, hey, we saw you in this restaurant. And I'm like, why didn't you say hello? And they're like, no, you look busy. So I think I have this very reserved vibe. And sometimes even people who are welcome might feel like, oh, okay, he's busy. He's doing his own thing. I'm very blessed to say that my phone hardly rings if it's someone distant asking for a favor. It doesn't really happen. And if it does happen, if it's someone calling you because they want to sell you something, you're like, how did you get my number in the first place?
Got to give you a shout out. We met on Clubhouse. I was surprised to find you there because when I first joined people, I had a couple interactions with some folks and I was a little put off by it. And then somebody said, you know, I thought about it. I said, you know what? You might run into certain people, just leave the room and stuff. But when I met you and a few other people, I was pleasantly surprised. So what were you doing on Clubhouse? First of all, as a business person, what were you doing on there?
So the interesting thing is one of my friends told me about it. He said, listen, they have these nice rooms over there. And, you know, you'd enjoy having a conversation with like-minded people. And, you know, I can easily say my cousin was very, very right. I mean, I think it was the name of your room that attracted me to it. You really did it justice. It really is that great value. The things you talk about, the topics of your room, they're so like stimulating because it's a question on its own. It really makes you think. So I'm actually very grateful I met you. You're a very interesting guy. You're intellectual. You ask amazing questions.
Thank you so much. When I first got on there, I decided to create the room Small and Great Value. So shout out to any Small and Great Value listeners. Mustafa, you are one of the people that whenever you show up, you don't even have to say much. And people already, oh, man, I'm going to stick around and see what Mustafa has to say. And I definitely feel that way as well. So I'm delighted to meet you as well. I think that a lot of people miss out on the value of Clubhouse and other social media because they go into it thinking, hey, I'm going to meet somebody and make money and whatever. So I never look at people's profiles. I never look at their profiles. I never look and see what they're doing. When I'm talking to them, it's only when they say stuff that hits me and I'm like, oh, I like what they're saying. Then I will go look eventually. So I'm happy that I never looked to see what you were up to because what it did for me was it freed me up from making any kind of assumptions. Like, I would have made the assumptions, like, not to your fault, but a lot of assumptions I make about business people who are successful is that they're going to be rude and arrogant and they always have an angle. And I never felt that about you. What do you think about that? Where do you think that kind of thought comes from? And how do you stay above that?
I don't know if I would say I'm successful. Thank you for saying that. For me, there's always the next step, the next milestone, the next, you know, the journey versus destination thing. I think what is very important is when you have your values intact, when you focus on your own growth as a human being, when you focus on these things that are, you know, right versus wrong, and your character is built. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm just speaking generally. When your character is built, and let's say you as a person, you Glenn, you're successful internally, and then you achieve external success. That external success is going to be much, much more secure now, because you know that. Yes, it is an achievement, but it's not everything there is to you. It doesn't define you entirely, because you know that the most important thing is not what you get, it's who you become, it's what you become. So I think that's very important. It's a very big shame when you see someone having this huge external success and they haven't really worked on themselves as human beings. Unfortunate thing is when it happens to someone who's young. You know, someone in maybe a guy in his early 20s, you know, he got famous, he became a, you know, worldwide sensation, pop star, whatever. Then, yeah, it can get to you because you don't have that foundation. So that external success is going to define you. And it's going to, as we say, get to you, and you might become, you know, quote unquote, arrogant and think you're better than people. But when you have your right values, it's not for anyone. It's not for sale. It's yours. You know, you have that what's right and what's wrong, and it's going to stay right and wrong no matter how much money you have or don't have. It's not for sale. So when you have that, then you have that foundation. And then money doesn't, you know, we've been told so many lies when we were kids. Money is the root of all evil, blah, 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 blah. It's money is not good or evil. Money is an amplifier. If you have it, God bless you. I'm sure if you're a good person, you're going to do more good with it. Money or a position of power of any kind. You put a man in any of these situations and the reality is going to come out. It was always there. Good, yeah. Bad. And now it's just you've given it a platform to come out in. So that's how, wow, I look at it.
No, I like that. And what you said about it being an amplifier, and we've all heard those things about money. Have you ever came across a person who seemed a certain way and then when they got the money, they seemed to have changed?
The rich person doesn't have to say he or she is rich. And the same thing applies to wisdom. I think there's one person I can think of when I was a teenager. There was a distant relative, and you know, he did very well for himself, and then people were like, you know how much this guy has? I'm like, no, because he's so humble, from what he drives to the way he dresses to, and people kept complimenting his character. He's such a sweet guy. And I think that's when I started thinking about it. You know, that's when I started kind of unlearning and relearning the whole philosophy behind money and good and bad. Yeah.
What I found out about you was, I found out when you did an article. What was the name of that magazine again? It was a recent one. It was on your YouTube. Yeah. It was on your Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was magazine called Luxpresso.
Luxpresso, yes. Shout out to Luxpresso. Yeah. But when I read that article, I was like, wow, this guy has done so many different things. But what really kind of moved me was how nice you were and how sweet you were and how like intellectual you were in terms of how you articulate yourself. And none of the things that I felt in that article, it was all, like you said, it was all about your character. Just from your character, I was like, I was trying to figure out a way and to us to work together. And this interview was like, I was like, oh, he's an entrepreneur, and I interviewed entrepreneurs. So it was like, I wanted to do that before reading the article. So to your point, it was all about who you were and how you carried yourself that I was interested in. What makes you not gravitate towards the side of gatekeeping and trying to hold on to secrets and not share?
Well, I mean, it would be very nice to say that, you know, it's everything is for everyone. But, you know, we go back to your story of your cousin getting in touch with you and wanting something. You got to weigh it out. So am I, you know, for example, I'm sure you have nephews and nieces. Yeah.
Yes.
So depending on their age, you know, you might decide that actually this kid is at the right age to hear this advice. And then you might look at another nephew or niece and think, you know, this kid is actually not, because this advice can actually confuse this person. So I think you need to weigh it more based on like your opinion of where they are in life, because if you give them too much, it can backfire maybe. And you don't want to be responsible for that. So you want to make sure that this person is actually ready to hear what you have to say. Now, if they asked you for your advice, that's amazing, because that means, you know, they want to grow. They might have a growth mindset, whether they realize it or not, even though having a growth mindset is not always inherent. So if someone asks you for advice, you know, like say a teenager comes to you and says, Glenn, can you teach me how to be like you? You know, can you teach me how to, what books do you read? So that's fascinating. So when someone asks these amazing questions, they're probably ready.
Right. You know? No, I love
when someone
that.
Someone says, see, you know, I just want to make money. How can I make quick money? Then you're probably going to, you know, choose your words more carefully, I think.
No, I mean, that's a good one. And something that's very interesting is it happened already. Someone, it happens all the time, but somebody asked me, what book? Right. What's the book that you read that, you know, and I told him, because I was thinking, it's so funny. I was thinking exactly what you said. And I said, I'm going to tell you something, what I've learned from reading different books. But I noticed something. The only thing they've ever provided me with was inspiration. They never gave me a how to anything. And so what that does is you already have the inspiration because you want the book. You're seeking it out and you just want to hear the things that you're thinking in your mind, and you want somebody to validate them. So I told this person, I said, no matter what you feel in that or read in that book, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to execute. What do you think is some of the things that you do that makes you take inspiration to execution?
Well, I think if we're talking about books as an example, there's always going to be a click. So you might read, let's say, the most important book on earth, and you're a man of good values. You're a man of, you know, you have your morals, you have your ethics, and it's very easy to see that, you know, Glenn has his values and he's clear about what's right and what's wrong and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And you give that same book to someone whose values are, you know, like, you know, not as intact. The two of you are going to process it very differently, in my opinion. Right. So there's going to be one or two things that you click with that click with you, and you'd be like, yes, yes. And as you said, maybe you know this thing already. Maybe you don't. Maybe you learned something new. Maybe it reassured you of something you already knew. And this other person might totally understand something else. You know, maybe if this person doesn't have, let's say, good intentions, maybe they'll process it very differently and they'll use it for, you know, personal gain or whatever. So I think more importantly is your sense of right and wrong. Yeah, because you can have intelligence, but it doesn't mean you have ethics. Doesn't mean you have good values if you have intelligence. So the thing that we want to achieve, wisdom, we need to strive for both. We need to strive for intelligence. We need to strive for kindness, be more responsive, less reactive, etc.
Oh, man, I love that. And something that you said about being responsive and knowing what is the outcome you want. So I think sometimes if somebody goes into something already thinking, this is what I want, and when they don't get it right away, they shut down. If a person was going to start and hope to get to a certain place in life, what would you advise them on top of doing the reading?
Don't sell your soul. That's the number one thing. The most important thing is your integrity, your honor. Without it, you are nothing. Without honor, without integrity, you are nothing. If you don't have right and wrong, you're like, yeah, I'll steal from this person, I'll con that person, you're nothing. And even if you don't go to jail, the universe will not let you get away. Okay? So nobody gets away with anything. Whether you see it, whether you don't see it, whether, you know, justice will be served one way or the other. So, yeah, So yeah, just hold on to these things. And I think that the stronger you become as a person, the stronger your character becomes, you don't feel things like temptation, because you're just like, it's wrong. And it's just, forget it. It's not even an option. It doesn't even cross your mind. So that's it. Just hold on to your integrity. That's the most important thing you have. And don't sell it. So when you have it, when you have integrity, when you have honor, you're like, okay, there's only one way to get things done. There's only one way to succeed. And that is the right way, the honorable way. But when you don't have your honor, when you don't have, there's a million ways to succeed. There's a million ways to succeed. And if you sell your soul, guess what? Your soul costs a lot of money. So you'll make a lot of money. But if you hold your soul and you hold your honor and you attract that success by who you become, now you've earned the success. It's not transactional. You know, you've earned it. You've attracted it. It's added more layers to your honor and to your soul. So hold on to it.
That's some great advice. And I think that when I was online today and I posted something and I got a comment that was like, hey, you know, if you want to build, I just started my YouTube channel. And the person said, if you want to build your channel, you have to ride the wave. And I said, you know, my goal is to attract the people who have been always on the wrong side of the wave, at the bottom of the wave, the underdog that doesn't think they have ever been able to get a break and to know what that feels like, but not to quit. And I don't need a million followers to do that, or subscribers. I just need a few strong people that know what it is that they want to accomplish. Everything is not about business. Like, I make friendships. There's so many different ways, like you mentioned. Do you ride waves or do you create waves?
Well, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Some people do things because everyone's doing it, so it becomes quote unquote okay. Some people don't do it because everyone's doing it. In my opinion, I think your intention determines where you end up. That's my opinion. So whether everyone's doing it, whether nobody's doing it, do what feels right to you. Even if everyone's doing it, even if nobody's doing it. But don't base it because everyone or no one is doing it.
Man, I've never heard it. I'm gonna have to ask you more about that. I like that. Let's say, for example, everyone is coaching and you get on a platform and you decide, hey, I'm going to coach. But I've always wanted to do it. Do you do it anyway, even though in that space it seems to be saturated because of your intention?
I mean, look, when we started the barbershop here in my barbershop, my salon, it's called Chivalry. We opened in 2013. A lot of similar barbershops started popping up after. So, yeah, I mean, to be completely honest with you, if we didn't open it then, and let's say now it's 2022, and yeah, it could be discouraging, maybe, yeah. You might think that, okay, there's too many of them. Like, for example, there's a lot of restaurants in Dubai, but particularly burgers. There's too many of them. There's too many of them. So, yeah, it can, you might feel like it's saturated, so I probably won't do it. But then I guess it depends how passionate you are about it. It depends how deeply connected this passion is to you. So if you come from a family that makes the perfect burger and it was always your dream, it doesn't matter how old you are. You have to pursue it. It's not going to leave you alone.
You just did it. You just answered that question so perfectly, because there are a lot of burger places in New York City, but your answer just kind of sealed the deal. And I'll tell you how. Because while there are hundreds, thousands of places to get burgers in New York City, there's only a few that I would go to. So to the point of it is, if you do it right,
yeah,
the presentation, the size, the taste, I only go to this maybe one or two places for burgers, even though there are thousands that I could go to. So that kind of goes to your question. What is saturation? And that kind of goes to individuality. So I want to ask you more about your barbershop. So now that those other places popped up, what makes your barbershop different? Not that you're comparing.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because honestly, Glenn, I've never done anything for competition. I mean, since I was, I think, 17, 18, I wanted a place where, you know, gentlemen could go and hang out and feel good and unwind, and that was the idea. That was the main inspiration. I don't look at the competition. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if it's wrong. I don't know. I don't do that. For me, it's just, How can we improve? And I tell my guys at the salon, the barbers, the managers, we're not the best because we've hit a certain peak. We're the best because we're always learning, because we're always improving. And we learn by our mistakes. We learn by wanting to improve something. We learn by fine-tuning, polishing. We don't learn by comparing. Never. Never, 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 never. I don't feel like, oh, they're doing it. We got to do it also. I don't feel that. I don't feel that at all, because that, to me, that's not, it won't convince me on a deep level. Maybe for a second you'll feel an impulse sometimes, maybe. But I think it's important to, you know, maybe sleep on it or evaluate it before you act on it.
That's great advice. My follow-up would be, do you think that comparison, what about observation? Let's say if I observe that these people are doing this here and I don't like the way that makes me feel, are you opposed to observing what others are doing and then making decisions about what you want to do?
I think it's more important to listen to your target, your clients, giving them the best experience. So if I have a guy who's been coming to me for 5 years and he tells one of the guys, listen, I think you guys could do that, we will look into it immediately, because it's about, you know, this person's experience. It would give them a better experience. So we'll look into it immediately. I think that's where the most valuable feedback can come from. People that are using your product.
Oh, I love it. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, outside of just having the barber business, you have another business. So tell us a little bit about that business. How did you get that one started?
Well, I have a few of them, so I don't know which one you're talking about.
I think the film industry business. You do films, yes?
Yeah. I mean, I write and I direct movies. The film industry is still developing in the UAE, in the Emirates. It's still got a bit to go. Movies do come out. They do reach an international audience, but there's still a long way to go to reach that huge scale, I would say. So it's up and coming. You know, we... My last film was a short movie called The Long Game. We won 15 or 16 awards. Did pretty well in the short film world. So, yeah, that's the thing that, you know, we would not sacrifice, what I was telling you about earlier. That's what's deeply connected to my soul. So, yeah.
If I wanted to watch that, how could we watch it if we wanted to? Is there any way? Because I would love to make that available if possible.
So there's a movie I made called Sunset State a couple of years back. That's online. It's widely available. It's on YouTube. The Long Game is still going through festivals. It's not uploaded yet, but you know, I'll be sharing it with you as soon as it is.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. What made you decide that movies were something that you were interested in, and how did you decide to approach it?
Well, I think, to be completely honest with you, if we go 10, 15 years back and you told me I'd be an entrepreneur or a business person, I wouldn't have believed you. So movies came first, to be completely honest. That was the main calling. That was the main thing that, you know, I wanted to do, because I was just writing story after story. My friends, cousins would come over on the weekends. We'd film stuff when I was 12, 13 years old. So that was always there. But then I saw that, you know, I also felt responsible for, you know, some of the family businesses that already existed. So I kind of got involved in there, I think, maybe 16, 17 years back, but not as much as I got involved in the last, I would say, 10 years. Last 10 years, I got heavily involved. So I compiled what, you know, the existing businesses that we had. I started some new businesses and I formed a group. That's what I did. So yeah, I felt, you know, felt responsible to do that. So I think the biggest lie anyone will tell you is that you're only meant to do one thing in this world. If you can love a number of things, you can do many things.
But what do you think about focus though? Like, let's say I'll use myself for an example. I can do a lot of things, but because I can do a lot of things, does it mean that I should do them?
Well, you see, the thing is, in my opinion, the solution or the answer to that is discipline. So you finish what you start. And as you said, you focus on what you're working on currently. So if I want to make a movie and I want to start a business, I'm not going to be able to do it at the same time. So I'm going to go make my movie. I'm going to wrap up my movie. I'm not going to rush I'm going to, you know, give it what it deserves, give it the time and the energy that it deserves. And once it's done and I feel like it is completed, then I can go and start my business. Maybe I'll take a year in between them because it's two huge projects. So I think it's important to, one, focus on one thing at a time. Two, finish what you start, because the most important thing is you building that credibility with yourself, having that discipline.
Oh, no, I think that's amazing advice. And also, when you finish what you start, you also build a trust with the people that see you building it. Because when they see you pick up something and put it down and grab something else, it could also make people think, well, I don't know how long they're going to do that. But something that you also said about, like, that I wanted to add to was when you talked about if you want to do multiple things, right, starting the thing, finishing it. What do you think about delegating tasks to somebody else so you're not on top of everything? But you check in with them, you have meetings, but you don't need to necessarily be there to do everything, especially when you're an entrepreneur.
You can't have your hands, deep in everything. And the key word here is deep. You can't have them in everything at the same time. That's impossible. It doesn't matter how talented, how intelligent, how focused you are. Some things are just not a one-person job. So yes, of course, the businesses have managers. They run the show. I get involved. So basically, it's like, I think the best way for me to describe it is you build a boat, you build a ship, and you get a captain for the ship, and you teach the captain how to sail the ship, and you give them, you know, directions on where to go. And every now and then you go like a little faster here, a little slower there, turn right here. There's a little, you know, there's an iceberg ahead, turn right, you know, so you're delegating. You're no longer sailing the ship completely, but every now and then you'll be like, you know what, this part is bumpy, I will sail. But it's always better when you teach them how to sail instead of you saying, you know, give me the wheel. So you're not helping anyone, as even though it's a quick fix, it's not a long-term solution.
Oh no. Well said. And how you gave the example with the boat. Beautiful, because I think as an entrepreneur, we sometimes want to paint the boat, we want to sail the boat, and we want to sell the tickets.
Yeah. Yes.
So my question to you, I almost forgot to ask you this, is what made you decide to get into the entrepreneurial world? Like, did you ever have a typical 9-to-5 or work for somebody and then decide that you wanted to do your own thing, or have you always worked for yourself?
No, I think... I was saying this to one of my friends recently. So we have this group, me and three, four other guys, all entrepreneurs, all business owners, and we always, you know, bounce off each other's ideas, give each other advice, etc. So I've started three businesses from scratch, but I handled six different businesses. Not, of course, I'm not counting the movies as a business. Purely as a business, I handled six businesses, and three of them I've started from scratch. Three of them were there in the family before, three from scratch. And I totally forgot your question.
Wait, so the barber, I want to just speak because you said something that kind of caught me. So the barbershop business was from scratch business, right?
Yes.
And what
yes.
are the other two businesses?
Okay, so the barbershop, totally from scratch, Chivalry. We're in downtown Dubai. The other one is I founded a leather brand called 35 Burgundy. And then I started a PR agency called Aficionados PR and Communications.
Okay, so now I'm going to re-ask that question. I'm going to dive into those two businesses. But the question that I asked was, had you ever worked... So I guess your family business might have been considered like you worked for somebody because it was the family, but it was there, right? And then you decided, because I know people who have started in family business and stayed in the business. They haven't felt moved to create something new. What made you decide to create something on your own outside of what your family had already built?
Right, right. So this is, thank you for saying that again. So this is why I brought up, my entrepreneur friends is because, this actually, you know, I actually told him, I'm like, I don't even know when exactly did I start three different businesses. So then when you look back in hindsight, it's like you were almost programmed to do it because you're an entrepreneur. You know, there's nothing pretty about it. There's nothing, there's no smooth sail, it's not pretty, it's... So why would you do it three times unless you're a masochist? <You know? laughs> I'm kidding. I swear to you, for the life of me, I cannot answer that. I don't know. I think it's something deep in my subconscious. It's a programming. I don't know. I wish really? I wish I knew why. I don't know. But now, man, after the third one, I've told myself, hey, stop. You know, I've very very consciously told myself, no more new businesses. I mean, you know, we might, you know, expand the group, we might import another business, get an agency for something else, but I don't think I'll start something from scratch again, to be honest.
Why not? I'm just curious.
I don't know how much more I would be able to, I mean, I don't know. Again, I think it's enough, and I think if I have any energy left, I might as well focus on what I have started and what's already there, you know?
So then, I think that's your answer right there.
Yeah,
because I think that's your answer right there.
Yeah, I think it would get, your focus would get, you know, you've started three, focus on three. You know what I mean? If it's a big difference between you deciding to have three kids or you deciding to have 12 kids. You know, if you have three kids, I don't want to do the whole thing where I say my business is my baby and all that crap. I don't want to do all that. but you know what I mean. If you have three kids, you'll mm-hmm. be able to give them more love, more attention, more nurturing, etc., and do a better job, let's say.
No, I think that's beautiful, because, you know, it's funny. Now that you mention it, that I think you have the answer right there. Having more would mean you have less time to do the things you love, and also to put the energy in your business. We all know, any entrepreneur knows that time is the issue. It's not about money. Like, when you work for somebody, people think, oh, somebody told me early today, hey man, I wish I had financial freedom, Glenn, so I could do more. I was like, listen, you're gonna be thinking about creating the business and making it thrive and building it. So you're not going to be sitting on some beach somewhere. At least I don't think, unless you own property on a beach, but you are not going to, it's not what you think. It's difficult, but the rewarding part, as you mentioned, is focus. You can focus on parts of the business, and you could decide how much enough is. When you work with somebody, they'll tell you how much enough is. They'll tell you, oh, we're expanding. Like, I worked a business, and one of my friends worked a certain area of the business. He was doing very well in the business. And then the person that owned the business said, hey, we're going to sell tents now. And it was an electronics business. And the person said, hey, we're going to sell tents and supplies. And now you're going to have to learn about tents and supplies. And he was like, I like it as a hobby, but I don't want to sell them. But he didn't have the choice. You and I and people who work for themselves, you have the choice of, hey, I'm not going to do that. This doesn't feel like I want to go in that direction. So I think that's where... just my thoughts on why you're not expanding and opening another business, because you want to focus, you want to drill down, and you don't want your energy scattered about and not have time to enjoy the fruits of your labor, is my thoughts.
I mean, look, honestly, like, yeah, you said that, you worded that very nicely. So I think there's two things here. One, you know, like I said, expanding is an option. Expanding is always an option, whether you expand the things you've created, whether, like I said, whether we import a business from abroad, that's also an option. I was purely talking about starting something. Now, going back to that point, any business you start has to at some point run passively. It has to. It has to be able to run without you, but that doesn't mean you're not present. It doesn't mean you're, as you said, you know, lost on a beach somewhere. You're still involved, but like, for example, now, you know, the barbershop's running. I'm talking to you. I don't have to be in the barbershop. You know, it's running without me. You know, it's got a supervisor and it's got a manager, but every now and then you got to pop in, you know. But it's important for it to run passively. Any business you start, it has to run without you, and that can only happen by, as you said, by delegating and by, you know, passing on your values, first and foremost, values. And then I think the tools, and then handing them the tools.
Yes, I agree. And one thing that I'm glad you said that is, you talked about it passively working. And a lot of people start out saying they want it to passively work and for the business to work for them, but you put time in. So the question to ask you is, how much time did you put in a barbershop before it was able to run with the people that you put in charge?
Well, it's interesting because it's the work you put in that makes it run passively. It's you know, that's why I said first you pass on your values, then you pass on the tools. So the values of the business, not the values of right and wrong, because you can never teach someone that. You can only inspire them. You can't teach them. So character, 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 then skill. Character, 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 then skill. Yeah.
No, I think that's beautiful. I have a friend, Kamal, who has a barbershop, and he had, I think, he had like 10 or 12 locations, and he said every barbershop he opened, he worked 1 year at the barbershop. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And he said, I want them to see how I do it. And, you know, because you could tell somebody how to do something and then they never see you, and then they'll do what they want to do. And so I like the fact that he worked alongside the guys, got a vibe for them, and then moved on. So question, as an entrepreneur, when you had, like, because I think the part that I kind of like is when you said you set people up there and then you're still a presence, because some people, when they disappear, people get ideas. Have you ever, in any of your businesses, had it set up and then had to deal with an unsavory situation where somebody decided to take advantage of you not being there?
Absolutely.
God, yes. Share, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I want to hear this because, yeah, please.
I mean, look, first of all, I have to say that, you know, I love all my guys at the moment. The team we have, fantastic. I love them. I trust them. It's just amazing guys. But it wasn't always the case, you know. When we first started out, we had different staff. We had different barbers. We had different, and even in the head office, because that's where my office is, the head office. So even in the office, you know, we had people that were, you know, whose values did not match ours. and some of them had been there for a very, very long time, and they had their claws in a lot of things. So it took time to declaw and finally, you know, part ways. And as amicable as you try to be, it's not always the case. You know that. I know that. So yes, you know what? That's as they say, when, you know, when the cat's away, that's always going to be the case.
Right?
It's always going to be the case.
These people no longer work with you, but you still take the road of like, you know what, I don't want to throw them under the bus. They may have did things that were not in line with what I did. And I think that also shows what type of person you are. I have a question to ask you about the leather business. How did that get started and what's the inspiration behind that?
It's not in any stores yet. A lot of big department stores have tried, you know, to kind of stock our bags. And we started this thing in 2017, 5 years ago. We want to do an exclusive thing. We don't want something that's very available. We don't want something that's mass produced, even though that is the right way to go. Let me be honest. That is the right way to go. If you're looking to start a business, you have to think of, you know, premium product, reasonable price. You have to think of those things. But, you know, that I think the ethos, or, you know, the brand signature was different. It needed to be niche, but it is very affordable, but it's not always available. So that's what we wanted to do. So it's we only sell through people, through contacts, through Instagram, through the pieces are not always available, and they're always made in a limited amount. Luckily, I have two sisters who help me with the bag designs and, you know, use more of this and less of that. And because I know if they would use it, then probably doing something right.
So, right. Yeah, so is this like, is this like purses, or is this something, is this men's bags too, or just for women, basically?
It's men's as well, mostly women, mostly handbags. So the brand falls in two categories. The accessories, the wallet, the card holders, and the phone cases, those are always available. And then the bags. The bags are not always available. And we had this one very influential woman in town. A couple of months back, she WhatsApps me and she says, what do you guys have in stock? I sent six bags to her office, and three came back. So... So I'm like, okay, if this woman would buy three of our bags, we're probably on the right track. But, you know, it's not going to be like this forever. Now it's still not where it's going to be. Let's see how that goes.
So my final question to you, is if you could have a conversation, and this is for my entrepreneurs out there.
Sure.
If you could have a conversation with your younger self, what are some of the things that you might have told yourself about business?
Can I change that up a little bit?
Certainly.
I would go back to when I was much younger.
Okay.
And I wouldn't
What age?
Maybe 5, 6.
Okay.
Or even 12.
Yeah, I like this.
And I would just hug this kid and I'd say, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm here. That's all I would say. I wouldn't give any business advice. I'd be like, don't worry, I'm here. I'd say that while hugging this kid.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to, and can I push you on that? Why would you do that? What would be your reason behind it?
Because I think that, that kid back then needed that. And I think that reassurance would go a long way.
Sure. Now I'm going to reverse it.
Okay.
Let's say in your early 20s, let's say like maybe 19, 20. What advice would you take from that young 20-year-old that maybe you were doing back then, that maybe you stopped doing? So the younger person is advising you, hey, don't forget we used to do this, and it was very helpful.
I would prioritize more, I would say, wow, it's a very, very nice question. Glenn, you and your questions, man. Oh, wow.
We can edit down, so don't worry. Take your time. Take your time. I know you got something there.
I don't know.
Wait, I'm going to rephrase it. Maybe something that, I'll give an example. When I was younger, let's say 1920, any idea that I had, whether somebody had been doing it for years, if I decided that that was something I was going to do, I went on top of that and I focused on it and I wasn't easily dissuaded. I didn't look so far ahead to get discouraged by what the process would be. I set out with what I knew and I just made things happen.
Yeah.
And then when I got older, I started to analyze things a bit more. And then sometimes I don't execute on things I do execute on them, but it takes me much longer than it did when I was younger, when I was like, I'm going to do this thing and it's going to happen. And I'm getting that back because I'm listening to the younger me about executing and realizing that all of those folks that would tell you, hey, take your time. If you go and check their history, because social media and the internet leaves a history, you can see that they got to where they were at by executing,
right,
making mistakes, learning. And so that's what the 19-year-old me says to me.
Okay.
Execute.
Okay. I guess I'll give you two answers. So I'd start with, now I'm turning 37 soon. So if I go back to, let's say 23, 24, I would say, or even younger, I would say learn financial literacy. That's the most important advice I would give. Learn financial literacy, learn how to save, et cetera, et cetera. And now if we reverse it, my early 20s, what would say back to me at this age is, okay, fine, you remember to prioritize fun. That's probably what he would say. You remember to, I'll learn financial literacy or whatever the hell you just said, but you have fun. So
give me some more about the fun. Give me some more about the fun. Why would he be advising you to do fun?
I'm kidding. No, just, just important to prioritize it. You know what I mean? Just have that, make time for it. Make time to have a good time. Find that your own unique balance, find your own way to, have the, yes, you're passionate about work, you're passionate about the businesses, you like working, great. But, as they say, work and play, do both. So make sure you have time to, socialize, enjoy, etc. Carefully, because
great advice,
COVID.
No, that's great. No, listen, that's great advice, because a lot of times, what I figured out, I realized that the more, a lot of the business people that I meet, they have everything so organized. Mm. It's like a prison almost. Like, I have this amount of time to do this and then this and that. And I'm like, when do you have time for fun? They're like, you don't have time for that, Glenn.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, isn't the whole point of all of the things that we're doing so we could do more of what we want to do?
Yes.
And so I love that advice. And I hope if anybody's listening, you listen to that advice, because I think we can get to a point where we're not living anymore. We're just existing to pay bills and to build bigger things, but at the same time, just creating more and more unfun and pleasant things to do, as opposed to doing more of what we want to do.
These little things that we do, these day-to-day things, if you stop doing the things that make you feel like you, you stop feeling like you. Right? So if you want to ride your bike, for God's sake, ride your bike. Okay? If there's a specific coffee you want to get from this coffee shop you tried once, and you'd be like, you know what, this would make my day. For God's sake, go and have that coffee. Because you are dedicated to your job. You are dedicated to, you're not going to slack. You're not going to forget. You're not going to, it's not going to happen. But these things, these little things, make a very big difference. So you have to do them. I have a question
okay,
for you before you let me go.
Yes, yes.
Name 3 or 5 people you would like to have dinner with, living or dead.
Living or dead.
Yeah. They could be anyone.
Gandhi.
Huh?
Gandhi is the first.
Yes.
Malcolm X.
Nice.
Muhammad Ali. Mm. Steve Jobs. And who else? I gotta go with. That's a tough one. Who is that last person? Damn, that's a good. This is a tough one. I'm gonna go and I'm going to say Martha Stewart.
Okay.
I know it's very odd. Martha Stewart.
Okay, okay. No, all right. That would make a very interesting evening, I think.
Yeah, okay. Man. Yeah.
Nice.
They all have a little bit of something.
Yes.
That kind of resonates with me. Oh, I would love to delve in more. But I really loved all of the advice you gave, and like I said again, your approach to life in general. It's so different than I'm used to dealing with.
Thank you. Honestly, and thank you for your time. Really, Glenn, honestly, thank you very much for your time and for amazing questions as always.
Thank you for tuning into the 95 Killers podcast. You can now visit us at 95killers.com. We truly appreciate your continued support. Without you, this couldn't be possible. Take care of yourselves and keep killing those comfort zones. Until next time, peace.